If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome back to the Already Friends podcast. This is Allison.
And this is Kara.
Today we're doing a similar format to Opinionated AF. This was an ongoing format that we did in 2024 where we chose videos from social media and then reacted to them. And as this is the Already Friends podcast, we felt like a friendship episode was overdue. So we're kind of combining the old Opinionated AF format of live replying to a video that we've seen online with an opinion on an opinion. And then we'll discuss some friendship nuances because it's been a little while.
Absolutely. But first, as always, we're going to catch up, do peaks of the week, and then we'll get into it.
Well, take it away. You're in a new country.
New country alert. New country unlocked. I'm in Portugal. I got here last night and wrapped the just short of 2 weeks in the French Riviera, driving through, flew to Marseille, drove to St. Raphael, Agay, Cannes, and then Nice, and it was so much fun. Had a great time. But then I was like, I have to go somewhere else before I fly home because I'm in no rush. I pretty much can work from wherever. And so then I added 4 days in Portugal because I had never been to Portugal, and I was looking between that and Spain because there's still so much more to see in Spain that I haven't seen, mostly just like the south I haven't been to. But it's extremely hot this time of the year, like 100+. And I decided that even though I really wanted to do that, because I just wanted to go speak Spanish and practice my Spanish, it would be better not when it's so, so disgustingly hot. So I did choose Portugal, and I'm here. I'm in Lisbon. I posted my story asking for recommendations, and I got so many. So I'm guessing that a lot of people have been to Lisbon, and so many people have been here because I got so many recommendations. Last night, I just got dinner by my hotel. Did that really quick and then went to sleep and got a good night's rest because I just really wanted to rest. Didn't get to sleep that much when I was working. And then walked around, met two girls, and we tried to catch us a walking tour. We all missed it. And so we're like, let's just do our own walking tour. And that was really fun. But where I'm staying, I have a hot take and I want to make a TikTok about this, but every time I've been solo traveling the last couple of years, I've stayed in hotels for the most part. And I've found like I don't meet people because everybody else that's staying in a hotel is either a couple or a family. And I have had several trips in the last couple of years where like I literally don't meet people at the hotel and I have to like actively try really hard to go meet people. And so I booked a private room in a hostel, which sounds like so crazy because I literally spent the last 2 weeks staying in 5-star hotels. But I'm not kidding. Already as an extrovert, immediately better. Like I've met 5 people already. People my age, like, I'm like, am I too old for this? Like, I feel like the private room is the perfect balance because I have my own space and not sharing a room because obviously that's what you do in a hostel. And it's a good balance because now I've met really cool people. Whereas in the past, like, I can think of so many solo trips where I was the only person not with a couple or the only friends. There's my trip in Turkey in particular. I remember the only friends I made at the hotel were the hotel owners, which was sweet, but they didn't speak any English and like they just felt bad for me and they were like so sweet and kind. But like that was the only people I met. And then on that trip, I found like a yoga retreat for the day and I made friends there. But it's just like, oh my God, that was so much effort to like find something. Whereas like here, I'm just eating breakfast and like everyone's chatting, like the whole table, it's like very communal. So that's my hot take is like if, because when I go to these hotels, the only people that talk to me, I can think of several examples, are like divorced men who are traveling alone, which is sweet. But I'm like, I'm married. I'm not trying to like only talk to men on these trips. And they're like trying to hit on me. So there's my hot take is that is staying in a hostel more enjoyable than some of these nicer hotels? I mean, I guess it depends on what you're looking for. But as someone who likes connecting with others, maybe it is.
Yeah, I think there's no shame in still booking a hostel, even close to 30 or over 30. Last year when I was in Colombia for a while, I stayed in a hostel and same, it was nice because they had a thing every night on their rooftop where it was like everyone goes up for sunset. You got like half off a drink or something. And so everyone would go up there and then hang out. And some people would end up going to dinner together or going out. And yeah, you would have a really hard time finding those people at an exact point in time without an activated space like that. So I'm totally with you. And I feel like a good balance, if you need comfort and want to meet people, is you could do like 2 or 3 days at a time in each, because that's also what I did in Colombia. I would stay at the hostel, have fun, meet people, then go get an Airbnb down the street for a couple of days, take a good shower, sleep in like a quiet room, and then go back to the hostel.
Oh, that's really smart. Okay, I like that tip because I am here for, let's see, 4 nights, which kind of is a lot. And I could totally have just done 2 nights here and 2 nights in a hotel. That's really smart, but it's too late now. But I'm like, dang it, wait, I like that idea. But also I have a lot of stuff because I was on a photo shoot and I had to pack wardrobe and like a tripod. And I'm like, honestly, I don't hate that I don't have to lug that around another time, but that is a really good tip. I like that.
And what are your thoughts on Lisbon so far?
So beautiful. Everything is so picturesque. Maybe one of the most picturesque cities I've ever been in. And yeah, I mean, I'm still my first 24 hours, so more to see. I'm hoping to get on maybe a little sunset boat cruise tonight, watch sunset from the water. There's a bunch and they're all under $40. So I'm trying to do that. There's a famous food hall down the street, the Time Out Market, Lisbon. I got a lot of recommendations to go do that. So I'm probably going to do that for lunch. And Sintra is a really cute town, very close by. I'm going to do like a day trip there tomorrow and then a day trip Sunday to Cascais, which is this beach town. So some people stay in these places, but I just am using Lisbon as a jumping spot because they're both not even 30 minutes away. And I didn't want to lug. Lugging the stuff around was the biggest thing where I'm like, I really don't want to do that on this trip. And that's the plan.
Okay, fun. I love that you added such a cool city on the end of your already great trip. And I hope it's a fun weekend.
Yes. Thank you. How about you? What are your updates?
It was a really normal week. Honestly, nothing super exciting. I think it was the most routine week that we've had since we've been here. So that can be nice, except I don't know if there's something wrong with me that then when that happens, I'm immediately like, I need to book a trip or something's wrong. Like, I just am such a go, go, go person that then when I finally get a break, even if I want a break, then I do something to spice it up. So I planned a trip back to Omaha in the middle of August. Gonna have this big event at the shop, do like a really nice staff dinner at Memoir, booked the party room there. And then we're gonna have this event Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so at the end of the event on Sunday night, have kind of like a cleanup, chill, music, pizza party to celebrate the weekend. So I've been working on all of the details for that because the top of the month is always like the busiest time for the shop, getting like the schedule all done, new vendors onboarded, payouts, the whole thing. And so doing that plus my client stuff. And then we have our Patreon episode that always goes live on the first of the month. And then also planning this trip. It's been a just kind of like a busy few days of like admin stuff, like nothing super exciting to report right now, but it's laying the foundation for fun things to come.
Yay, that's so exciting and something to look forward to. It's always fun having a trip booked.
I know, and exactly what we were saying like a week or two ago, once I have a trip on the calendar, it lights a fire under my ass because then all of these things that I needed to do, I just buckle down and do them. Like Clay, we've been saying, oh, we need to batch film content for his personal training brand. And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to be gone in a week. So like, let's get it done. And then you and I are pre-recording this episode. And I think you're the same. Like having a trip just gives us a timeline and makes us get going.
Yes, I agree. I've also heard having kids makes you work much more efficiently because you only have certain spurts in between nap time or like literally every single thing that a child requires. Because yeah, I feel like I've said this before on the podcast. My friend Allie has posted like, wow, I cannot believe how inefficient I was in a day before I had a child because I do so much in a day now. And I'm like, damn, I feel like that's me. I feel like I'm not the most efficient. But before a trip, yes, like you only have a certain amount of days left. Like you have to get the stuff done. So that is good a good method.
100%. And even the baby coming, I have this window of time left before I'm a parent. So if we're wanting to do stuff, I'm like, we better knock it out and get it done now, because once baby gets here and then this winter, I feel like we're just going to want to be cozy and at home. And so I'm going to also go back to Omaha in September, because Clay's family is having a gathering and we have to go to a wedding. That's why I was also like, should I also go in August? But if I don't have the staff party then, October is too close to the due date. And then I have a newborn and it's winter. So it was kind of like now or never. And I am excited to see everyone. Wow. I think it'll be good.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Anything else? Should we do Peaks of the Week?
Yeah, this is nothing super exciting, but it was just such a cute, wholesome moment that I have to share. I was at the coffee shop this morning, and for visual purposes, there's like these windows along the edge of the coffee shop with built-in seats. So I was like in one cozy little bench, and there was a little girl and her mom in there too. And Peaches and this little girl just kept looking at each other, and the little girl was coloring. And then when I got up to leave, the mom was like, can she show you something? I was like, yeah, of course. She holds up a picture. She was like, I drew a portrait of your dog, and it was so cute. She was probably like 4 or 5, so it was like, you know, like objectively kind of bad, like it's a little kid's drawing. But it actually, like, I could tell it was a dog, but it kind of looked like a lion. She really got Peaches fluff on her face going on, and she was so proud, and her and Peaches just, oh, I don't know, God. I feel like they were connecting on their own level, and I had no idea like the whole time.
Shut up, that's adorable. You need to frame that.
I know, I was like, can I ask to keep it?
Oh, he shouldn't give it to
no,
you.
No.
Oh, no.
I know, I wanted
it. That's so sad.
Thank you for thinking the same thing, because immediately I was like, I want to hang it on my fridge.
Yeah. Wait, that's so sad. Okay. Next time.
It's okay.
Next
it was a nice memory. Yeah.
Happens to happen.
Yeah. How about you? What's your peak of the week?
So sweet. I'm going to say my peak was swimming in that blue water in Nice. We, on our last day, had a little bit of free time because we were flying out or traveling later in the afternoon. And so I got to go to the beach and actually at sunrise before we would shoot, because we didn't start shooting until around 7 a.m. and sunrise was around 6. And we swam like pretty much every single morning. And that water is the bluest water I've ever seen in my life, like the Caribbean, wherever else. I have not seen blue water as blue as in Nice. And so, and the water was the perfect temperature. Like, just so many good things about this beach and just swimming in that ocean. Oh my God, it was so fun and just peak Pisces of me to love it so much. And that, yeah, so my peak was definitely swimming in Nice.
Wow, I know for you especially that is a really good one.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. It was just, seriously, that water is not cold. It's like the perfect temperature. And even at 6 a.m., it feels amazing. So make sure you guys are doing a sunrise swim in Nice if you ever go.
Oh my gosh. I wish I had your lack of fear for the ocean, because the idea of a sunrise swim sounds so magical. It sounds so beautiful. And then I just can't overcome it. I'm like on the shore waving to you while you're just mermaiding about. That's what would happen.
I was going to say about this water is like there was no marine life. Like there was nothing scary. Because in some of the other places in the south of France, I saw jellyfish. I saw things that were a little scary. And this water did not have any of that, because it's kind of rough, honestly. So I don't think the jellyfish hang out there. So it might be a good place if anyone's scared of sharks, fish, jellyfish. I saw none of that.
Okay. That's really encouraging, because that is exactly my thoughts. As I'm like, I'm in their territory and I'm defenseless.
Yeah.
So okay. Exactly. I'll add that into my mental notes.
Safer place. Yeah. Because in Agay and St. Raphael, we were shooting a hotel and I just like look out into the water and I see like 8 jellyfish and people were swimming. And I'm like, they better know, like, to be careful, because I can see them.
See, the ocean to me scares me because of those things, but then lake water scares me because of the hygiene around it. Like, I always
see bacteria.
Yeah. I always see people swimming in the canals here. And I don't know why that just shocks me, because I think it's essentially the same as lakes, you know, in the Midwest. Like, people always went in lakes. And I went in the lake as a kid, and then I got older and was like, no, thank you. I'm going to stay on the boat. But seeing people in the canals, I'm like, wow, you're really going for it. Would you get into canal water?
Definitely. I'm not sure. I can make a judgment on that. I don't have enough information. I don't know how dirty it actually is.
TBD. Okay. Okay. Well, okay. Listener peaks of the week.
Let's read listener peaks. Yes. Speaking of lakes, Alana said, finally got a weekend at the lake and spent half of it paddleboarding and kayaking. That sounds amazing. Sounds like such a summer activity.
Hannah said, trying aerial yoga and challenging myself by going alone. 10 out of 10 would recommend. That is super exciting and I'm really proud of you.
Erica said, I got married on Saturday and I'm currently flying to our honeymoon in Punta Cana. Congratulations, safe travels, and have the best time in Mexico.
And Kylie said, I'm a new mom and we went to meet our neighbors and they have a baby whose baby is only 2 months older than hers and they hung out on the patio. Feels good to finally get out of the house. Aw, congratulations on your newborn and I hope everything is going great and love that your baby could have a new friend.
So sweet. Also, correction, Punta Cana is in the DR. Immediately after I said that, I'm like, wait, Punta Cana is not Mexico. So back to Erica. Hope you have the best time in the DR. As always, send in your peaks on our Instagram page, Arty Friends Podcast. We post a story box every Monday.
All right. I think that's one of the most efficient catch-up and peaks we've done in a little while.
Yeah, we joked that we used to be this efficient back when we had studio time because you only had an hour or an hour and a half. And now that we record from our houses or from wherever, we just gallivant, take our time.
Yeah, full disclosure, I woke up and my Wi-Fi wasn't working today, and it's the first of the month, so I kind of thought, oh, maybe there was like something with the billing. And then I went to go to the Wi-Fi store, and they just had a sign out there that was like, yeah, sorry, out of service, like, we don't know when things will be working again. Good luck, basically. Like, completely closed the store. And I just feel like in the United States, I can't imagine T-Mobile or any of the major like Wi-Fi places just being like, ooh, we don't want to deal with all these customers. We're just going to not open. Which, I mean, there's nothing that they can say anyway, but like, I was just like, wow, I mean, that's one way to avoid the issue. So
yeah,
now I'm in a studio, came to a co-working place and it's fine because I've been needing to try coming here anyway. So this was just the shove to do it. But yeah, I was kind of shocked that that was how the company handled it.
That is so funny. What are your thoughts? How do you like it?
I mean, price-wise, really good. 12 euros an hour.
You're just in like a quiet room.
Yeah, I'm just like in a box.
Yeah. Also, okay, sorry, one last thing I'll say about our catch-up and we can do the first prompt. With traveling and making friends, co-working spaces, if you're somewhere for a long time, because I know Brady and his girlfriend have been traveling for forever, they always made such good friends joining co-working spaces, but obviously I'm not going to join a co-working space for 4 days. So that was the other thing I was going to say. I feel like a hostel is kind of like that middle ground of like it's co-working, but also living. And I chose one that was kind of advertising like that. So I'm not in a group of like 18-year-old party people from the UK.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Every hostel has a different vibe. The one I stayed in Lisbon,
yes.
No idea what it was called, but it was not a party hostel. It was very beautiful. And I remember they had this rooftop terrace and like the breakfast for a hostel was actually really good. So I have fond memories of my Lisbon hostel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was my side tangent that I meant to say earlier.
Okay, the holidays are sneaking up fast, and it is not too early to get started on your holiday shopping and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods is making holiday shopping way less stressful this year with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you cannot find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is the best place to discover extraordinary designs from small businesses and independent makers since 1999. It's truly the perfect name for this website because there are so many unique and interesting gifts for anybody in your life, and there's so many different niches. The mixologists, the gardeners, the diehard football fans, the history buffs, the book lovers, whatever your person that you're shopping for is interested in, you're gonna find something special and unique on Uncommon Goods. One scroll through their site, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's just so many unique niche gifts, and they're all from independent artists, small businesses, so you feel good supporting them. A lot of these gifts are made in small batches, so when you're shopping for the holidays, shop now because they will sell out, which is a great thing because we love a small batch unique gift. Also, every purchase at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So get started early on the holiday shopping this season at Uncommon Goods. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends. That's uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends for 15% off. Do not miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But, okay, should we jump into the first video?
All right, playing the first video here. The title is Bring Back Acquaintances Before Becoming BFFs Super Fast.
I hate to say this, but women friendships blow up because we don't simmer in the acquaintanceship stage long enough. Unfortunately, I have to give men some credit. They could know a man for years, see him at every function, have a good time, think he's a cool guy, but never once claim him as a friend or expect him to show up in his life as a friend. Meanwhile, women will trauma dump over a couple good brunches, and now we twinsies, locked in, besties for the resties, on each other's socials, planning vacations, all the things, and then months later, because you really didn't establish an actual foundation, it's crumbled apart, silence, ghosting, betrayal, all the things. And I low-key want to bring this back to grade school, because mathematically, right, before you call somebody a friend, you spent probably 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, 15 hours in one semester before you said consciously in your head, like, oh, this is my friend. Your mom probably had to say, oh, that's your little friend, before you were like, yeah, that is my friend. That's 225 hours of time spent before you reach the conclusion, that's my friend. And as adults, we don't have the benefit of getting to hang out with somebody every day, which is all the more reason as to why you should sit in that acquaintanceship stage for at least a year before you're like, you know what? I really think I could trust this person. Some of y'all be sharing things that really only a licensed therapist should be hearing, not somebody you just met. Let's bring back long-term acquaintanceships, learn their patterns, their characteristics, who they actually are. Because ultimately, a friendship that lasts is one that was built on something real. Built. And Rome was not built in what? A couple of bottomless mimosa brunches. Thank you.
Stop. That's hilarious. I love whoever that is. Good energy. First thoughts. I mean, totally. I think I see both sides. I feel like there have been friendships where we are just fast friends, but like we click so well on another level that like they are now my best friends or some of my people that I consider my closest friends. And it did not take that long foundation. But I think for people that I'm close with in St. Louis or just people that I would consider part of my community, it did take repeated meetings and like putting in the time, putting in the effort many, many times again and not trauma dumping on them very fast or like oversharing too fast. It did take that slow build to have the solid foundation. So I can totally see what she's talking about. And probably if you did like statistically, that's more of the percentage than just the random people that you just really well click with really well, really fast.
I need a word between acquaintances and friends because I feel like there's some people who lean more towards acquaintances of mine, but then that makes it seem like kind of just a random person that I just see, but I wouldn't necessarily consider them a friend, especially if they're... Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, let's say people from your gym or your yoga studio where you're like, well, we're not really friends, but I talk to them all the time and I see them, but I'm not really trying to hang out with them outside of whatever common place that you're seeing them. Because I feel like school was the same way. I had a lot of people in classes where I talked to them every day. And for years, even some of those people, like in college, the graphic design school, like there was only, I think, 20 of us. So we knew each other very well. And so it was kind of that friendship dynamic, but not in the way where even now we keep in touch. So I also agree with her that like, we don't always need to jump into being BFFs with people. And it's not an offensive thing. It's not that I don't like you or I don't trust you, but maybe my inner circle is already full or something.
Yeah, absolutely. We need all different types of levels of closeness to people, not just BFFs. And honestly, I don't think the goal with making friends every time you meet somebody, it's not to always become BFFs. So that is a good reminder that having relationships or meeting people and building relationships just to take it slow and be acquaintances first is not a bad thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we end up taking it personal if one person is trying to accelerate the friendship and the other one isn't reciprocating as much. I don't know that that necessarily means that they don't ever want to get to that BFF point, but in the same way that with dating, sometimes one party is willing to be more romantically open and they're searching for that partner. And the other person is like, I'm still deciding. I'm figuring some things out. I need me time. And especially if you're like in my current stage of being pregnant, being abroad, having these life changes, locking it in with a new BFF is like not at the top of my priority list right now. So even if I met someone, say at a yoga studio here, I don't even know if I would be willing to like go that deep with them straight away. And I'm like, you know, I like just seeing you here, catching up, asking how your week was. Like, I'm cool with this. And they might be amazing people and we could end up having a really great friendship down the line. But my friend bucket is full. So I appreciated that take.
1000%. One more thing I'll say, her comparison to school, I honestly think she should use the comparison of work because that's why having a job is so good for community, because you get to meet friends and get to know people every single day for 8 hours a day. Like, I think that's why remote work has kind of backfired a little bit for a lot of people, because I made so many friends working in the office or working in in-person jobs. And people I would have never, ever, ever talked to in the wild. And I think that sometimes I do crave having an in-person job again in St. Louis just because of how many friends I made when I did that in New York or in Columbia, Missouri. So her point stands with that too.
Okay, now you're reminding me. Now I have to say one more thing.
Yeah.
I agree. And that kind of piggybacks off of what I was saying of people being open to it. I also think that that can indicate someone's social battery, because if you have two friends and one person, say, goes to the gym in the morning and has a group gym class where they see maybe 5 to 10 people that they always see every morning, then they go to an office job, they're talking to people there all day, and then they come home, they're maybe not as likely to text you and want to like go for a quick walk or catch up and FaceTime because they've already interacted with 20 acquaintances or work friends for that day. And if you're someone who's been at home all day and you did a home workout, you just took a walk in your own neighborhood and you stared at your laptop all day, you might be craving that social interaction more. So I also think there could be times where there's a social battery incompatibility where it's not even necessarily a personality thing. It's just like, oh, I've already talked to so many people. Like, I love you, but I'm good.
You're literally describing me and Connor, because Connor does sales and it's real estate sales. So he's in person, sometimes doing up to 5 showings a day. So not only meeting, we could be one people at the showing, 2 people, 3 people, he's probably seeing 20 to 50 plus people every single day. And at the end of the day or on the weekends, he's like, I just want to be home because I've actually talked to 200 people this week. And I work remote. I'm at home. I'm like, no, let's go hang out with your friends. Like, let's go get drinks. And he's like, I'm so tired from talking to people. And he's not an introvert. But like, even as an extrovert, it gets to you.
There you go. That is a perfect example. Thank you for sharing and backing up my claim.
Yep.
Perfect. If you've been loving the weekly episodes of Already Friends and want even more real, raw, and unfiltered conversations from us, come to our Patreon page. Over there, your support helps us keep this public show going every single week. And as a thank you, you'll get instant access to our entire library of bonus episodes. We even go deeper, talking about things we don't always share on the public feed. Think shocking life moments, friendship breakups, controversial opinions, behind the scenes of our businesses, and so much more. It's only $5 a month to join, and we still add new bonus episodes each month. So if you're craving more candid, cozy chats, spicy takes, and big sister energy, head to patreon.com/alreadyfriends, select the $5 a month tier, and you'll become a member. We'd love to have you, and if you've already joined, thank you so much for the support.
You're spot on. Okay, should we do the next one?
Yes. Second video is called Do Life with Your Friends, Not Just Catch Up with Them.
If you want to build deeper connections with your friends, learn to do life with them, not just catch up with them. And I feel like we've been seeing a lot more discourse online about catch-up culture and how you could literally go months without seeing your friend. And all you're really doing when you hang out or go for dinner is catching up on everything that they've missed for the past few months or weeks or whatever. My closest, most intimate relationships are with people that I'm building memories with as we go. Whether that's traveling together, doing just random daily errands together, spending time at each other's houses, doing boring stuff, co-working, whatever it is, actually doing life with them and building that sense of community and sisterhood and friendship. I know life can get super, super busy, especially if you live in a city like London. It can feel like you can never catch a break, honestly, let's be real. But I really encourage you, if it's something that you're seeking, it doesn't have to be the full 20 people in your friendship and extended friendship group. Just a couple of people that you can literally be building life with, because trust me, it changes everything. Having those people that just know you on a different sort of level, know how you work, know you on your best days and your worst, it is so grounding. And it, for me anyway, I feel like it's literally altering my brain chemistry. Learn to do life with people, not just catch up with them, and see, honestly, how it changes things.
I really like this take, and I think it resonates with a lot of the core values of our podcast. And I do feel like we've done a really good job over the years of saying different ways to incorporate friendships into your life. Like, for example, you and I are both really good at being like, hey, I'm going to be here at this time, like just come, or mixing friend groups together, or being willing to be vulnerable, I guess, if like having someone come over and helping you clean your closet requires vulnerability, or just doing things that maybe aren't as aesthetic or quote fun as a boozy brunch. But I do think that in those more wholesome moments, or at friends' houses, or when you're overcoming a problem, is where you deepen those friendships. And that actually helps you solidify, like, okay, this person is a real one. They're not just here for like the vibes.
Yeah. And not to toot our own horns, but I feel like we have, like you just said, have said this advice before on the podcast. And funny enough, I also think this might depend on your personality a little bit, because I should be sponsored by this app already because I've shouted them out so many times, but the app Dimensional, where it has all these different personality types. I was looking at mine the other day because I hadn't looked at it and like really dove deep into all my analyses in a while. And one of them was like, you highly value bonding with people through experiences. And like, if I don't experience life, how this girl was saying, with other people, I can really feel isolated. And so I wonder if there's like a spectrum of that, of like, this really resonates with some people, like this really resonates with me. I definitely feel like I have no friends if I'm not doing life with other people, versus maybe a catch up is sufficient for some people. And I have friends where I know that that's their style. Like, they are maybe more of a homebody, maybe more introverted, and doing a catch up over drinks totally fills their friendship cup. So this one might be person to person.
That's a good point. I also think it matters for me on the particular person. Like, I have some friends who I enjoy just hanging at their house, and maybe we're cooking, chilling, going through whatever therapy session kind of vibes together. And then I have other friends who I'm more willing to go out and travel and do like active experiences with them. And in reflecting of even the immediate people that come to mind, I do think that that is stemming from these people's individual personalities. Like, my friend who I usually go to her house and we're just cooking and sitting on her floor, like, she is much more of a homebody and much more of a private person. And then one of my friends who like loves to travel, like, that's the person who we're like, should we just like go for a hike today? Should we like go do this activity? Should we go to the farmer's market? Like, they're much more willing to go do things that require leaving the house. So yeah, I guess it does kind of depend on your own personality and your friend's personality, what they need from you, I guess.
Yeah, and I wish I could remember what type of the personality, if it was like communication, or I don't remember what it was that it came to the conclusion that that's how I feel. But yeah, I definitely agree with this take that for me to feel close to people, I have to have shared experiences with them, and I highly value doing things together.
And do you feel like in those instances for you with those friends that that has made them feel more in the BFF realm, or like a closer friend doing those, than people from your perspective that you just catch up with?
100%, especially a trip. Like, I bond so much on trips. Yeah, I've said this recently, and I'm repeating myself on this podcast, but like, that's peak friendship for me, is like doing a trip together, because that accelerates the bonds to a whole nother level.
So if someone wants to get inside Kara's inner circle, better be booking a flight.
Better be staying at the hostel I'm at. Just stalk me. And literally, like, I've become, these people are acquaintances. I'm not going to, but like, who knows? Maybe me traveling around with these people here. I mean, that's how, like, when my friend Hannah, who I'm doing the short film with, we met traveling. Like, now we're travel buddies, not to brag, but Hannah said that I'm one of the only people that she can travel with and not get annoyed with. She's Scorpio and Pisces, so I feel like that's why. but we've just bonded so much from all these different trips that now, future trips, it's just BFFs, smooth sailing.
I don't want to derail this too much, but I'm sure you saw Victoria's Paris' video about being the friend that doesn't get invited on group trips because they're a bad traveler.
I did see that. That was super viral. Yes.
Yes. And I agree. Like, you have to travel compatibility. Traveling is not a cheap thing. It's not a small thing. Like, it requires a lot of effort to leave your house, reschedule work stuff, do the whole thing. So if you're not going to be going with someone who has a good synergy with you, like, I don't want to do it.
Her big point was just being considerate. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you're not going to open the door for us or like help us all get our bags out or like ordering the Uber, if like we have to do everything, yeah, you're not getting invited because it's just like a shared, we all need to put some hands in, help lift each other up. And I would agree with that take. But I'm very lucky. I don't feel like I couldn't relate to exactly what she was saying of like someone is really not fun to travel with. But that is a good take of like, you're not going to get invited if either, yes, not good synergy, or you're just, I'm your travel planner and you're just along for the ride benefiting from my talents.
Yes, that part. That is like my biggest travel pet peeve of like, of course I like planning the trip and I like having a say in where we're going and what we're doing. But please do not assume that that means that I'm making every logistical decision and that when we get there that I am your free tour guide and you get to just spend the whole morning getting ready while I have to figure out where we're eating, how we're getting there, what we're renting for the day, and I'm operating on like 8 cylinders while you can just big chill. That drives me absolutely bonkers.
Or if you are the person that you said, like you're the one doing the directions or picking where to go, then you need to be the one, you need to have a role. You got to figure it out. You're the one that's going to order the Ubers. You're the one that's going to make the reservations. I don't know, but a task needs to be delegated to everybody.
Agree. Okay, I'm sorry. That was my fault for derailing us, but it still relates to friendship. It's about maintaining friendships, you know?
That was a friendship hot take. I mean, I was literally going to say, that's actually, you could have played that video because that is applicable to this theme for sure.
True. All right, next one. This one is called Friendship Market is Looking Up, and it's the prime time.
People are complaining about how bad the dating market is right now, but I see absolutely no one talking about how prime time the friendship market is right now. Like, we are in a renaissance of whimsicality. If you're trying to goof off and catch a vibe, now is one of the best eras to live in than ever. So if you're on that, if you're trying to goof off, like, hit my line, because I got no space in my life for people who want to like grab a candlelit dinner and gaze into each other's eyes as we use words like high value to unironically describe people. I got no space for that. Mm-mm, absolutely zero. But if you're trying to goof off and just be silly, whimsical, then like let's link because we're going through a renaissance of that right now.
I love that. That's hilarious. And my first instinct was we're going through a renaissance of this because we hit the lowest of lows we could ever hit with 2020, 2021. It took a while to rebuild, but it's only up from here, and I totally feel this energy as well with the running club hype. There's so many happy hour. I don't know. I feel like I'm seeing a lot of friendship events where I live. Oh, in Chicago, there's the early morning swimmers. Everyone jumps into the lake and swims, and they all have coffee afterwards and stuff. I just feel like we hit the lowest of lows during COVID that people all around the world are trying to make solutions for it, and I would agree with this take completely.
I agree. And I think since some people are dating, getting married later in life now, like historically, the generations before us, it was you go to school, you get into a relationship, you get married, you buy a house, you have the kids. But now people are doing that later. And so I feel like there's still that part of their life of intimacy and belonging that they're seeking, but they don't necessarily want to be in a relationship yet. So I feel like there are a lot of people who are still in their late 20s, early 30s, or if they've gotten divorced later or kind of had, I don't want to even call it a midlife crisis, but like a big change where they're seeking something else and move to a new place. And then combining that with remote work, there are so many people who randomly at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday are like, I'm off work, or like, I have the whole day open. What do you guys want to do? And even right now, like the fact that Kara and I, it's a Friday afternoon and you're in Portugal, you're about to go do whatever. Like we just had the freedom to record whenever we wanted today. We have the whole weekend open. And however many years ago before the eras of the internet and easy travel, people couldn't just drop what they were doing and make spontaneous activities and experiences like we can now, which I think opens up the door to quickly texting a friend and being like, hey, do you want to go do this thing right now? And like them being able to receive the message wherever they are, whatever they're doing, and they can drop it and finish their work later on that night if they want to.
That's so true. We're very flexible. Or the market, job market, and people's lives as a whole has gotten more flexible. So that's true as well. But I would agree with this. And if you're struggling to make friends or you move somewhere new, I think now is, there's never been a better time for finding things and meeting people because I think everyone is craving it. Okay, let's do one more. Final one.
All right. This last video is titled Be a People Pisser instead of a People Pleaser. This one's a little bit more of a hotter take, so we'll see what we think.
You know what I love and look for in a friend? A people pisser offer. We don't have enough people pisser offers here. I want a mean bitch. I want somebody who's going to say some savage shit to somebody else's face because you know what? Those people are some of the kindest and most loving people you will ever meet. They are not afraid of being disliked. They are not afraid of conflict. If anything, they're willing to resolve conflict with people they care about in their lives, and they're also willing to read somebody to filth and be like, no, that person is actually not good for you, or that person has bad energy. And they'll say that to somebody's face. A lot of the women I've been entered in, that have entered into my life are more in the people pisser offer category. And what I fucking love about them is that they just simply do not care to be liked by the masses. And they want to be around people with good energy that are protecting each other's energy and also are resolving conflict together. Because friends, even if I have good energy, even if I'm generally a good person, though I think good people do bad things, I want somebody that is going to hold me accountable, and I want somebody that is also going to address the fuckery that the majority of the world does. So I want more people pisser offers in my life.
What are your thoughts?
That is a fun take. Wow. Yes, I think I can totally see the person in my head that she's describing. And I know I come off like very bubbly and bright and fun, but for some reason, I really attract these kind of people. I think, again, it's like the Scorpio. I always like imagine a Scorpio is kind of like this. I always have been drawn to Scorpios and get along with them really well. And I think it's just them being honest and upfront and not worrying about people pleasing. And it's almost like sometimes being direct and blunt, like she said, is helpful. It's going to solve a lot of problems so much faster.
My immediate thought is that it depends on the community that you're in. Because I feel like in some cities where, okay, take LA, for example, where there's all of these transplants, people are moving in, you have a friend over here, you have a friend over there. Like you can be with someone who's maybe more controversial or disliked by other people, and it doesn't cause problems with the friend group or your community. But I think about Omaha, which is my hometown and Kara's hometown, where literally everyone knows everyone. And if you burn a bridge, you've like cut off a lot of mutuals, and then you kind of have to like pick sides. Like there are so much overlaps of small business owners and content creators in Omaha that if you are the mean bitch, it's kind of hard to be like that controversial person in a smaller city, I think. But if you're someone who's traveling everywhere or maybe lives in a city like New York City or Miami or something, maybe it's different and you can be that way. I don't know.
Okay, I see what you're saying. And I think the differentiating factor in my mind is like someone standing on business, standing on facts versus being a bitch and like not standing in true reality. Because I think the people that this lady is talking about, I think are people that are standing in truth and like sticking up when, and like being mean when they are in the right. Versus if you're being a people pisser offer and you have horrible takes or you're standing up for things that you're in the wrong, I don't like that. And you're kind of leaning toward being a Karen in my mind.
Yeah, it is hard because I think sometimes that is perceived as someone being in their truth. But then there's some people who are just going to think that that person's always wrapped up in drama or I don't know. I just have a few people that are coming to mind that I think are more that way. And because it's rubbed some people the wrong way and there's a lot of events that happen in Omaha where all the same people come, it makes it awkward when there's some of those what is the right word? Like people that just everyone has an opinion on. It's like, you know, A friend to all is a friend to none, where they're like unproblematic. They're just kind of there. But also if they weren't there, no one would really care either because they're not really contributing that much or they're not that fun or they're not that supportive. They're just chill in the middle. But sometimes those polarizing people, that's just the word I was looking for, where everyone has an opinion on them of either they love them or they were rubbed wrong by them at some point. And I don't know, I guess we need all types of people.
Yeah, I will say for this take, I don't know how I feel, but I can appreciate her take and I can understand what she's saying.
There we go.
Because some people pissers kind of suck. So, but I don't know what the difference, I can't differentiate what it is, but yeah.
Well, I feel like this was a good episode of reflecting on different types of friendships and the type of friend that we are. So this was fun, especially because it's summer. This is a time where a lot of people are hanging out, meeting new people. So just things to think about when you're either making new friends or you're trying to plan activities with friends.
Absolutely. I love this format. I'm always happy to bring back an opinionated AF style episode. Well, thank you guys for being here. Thanks for listening to another episode of Already Friends, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.